Welcome back to Poppin' Politics Radio. Sorry for the long hiatus during the holidays, but we're back. We're back in full force. And as always, I'm your host, Gary Moskowitz, and with me in the Poppin' Politics studio, as always, is producer Brad Wagner and Zoneel Maharaj. Anyways, again, welcome back to Poppin' Politics Radio. Today, we're talking about frogs and global warming. So, this episode's called The Frogs Show. A few weeks ago, I saw a story about frog species dying off and how it was tied to global warming. At first, I was like, who cares? Yeah, we know the Earth is getting warmer. Tell me something that I don't know. But then I saw another story and another one. The New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, everybody was on it. Recently, some friends and I went out for a hike to this waterfall in Marin County. And sure enough, there's a sign posted that says, don't disrupt the pools of water around the waterfalls because that's where certain frogs lay eggs, and dwindling populations need those eggs to survive. Suddenly, I had a flashback to my old neighborhood in Mohegan Lake, New York, where these kids up the street used to put firecrackers into frogs' mouths and light them up just for fun. I realized at that moment that we owed it to the frogs and to the vanishing atmosphere to give them some airtime. I decided it was time for PNP to host The Frogs Show. Pollywogs and the tadpoles from the big frog. From the depths of the pond, back to the top. Ice froggy frog jumping and I got the drop. Get solo in that grass, tadpoles will sing. Long reach to the spot where my tongue will fling. Hippin' and hoppin', hoppin' and hippin', but don't lose your sleep. 9-4-Z is easier for me to buck up the sheets. And I ain't hold nothing back. And I'm about to yank 9 from a gunny sack. Cause like that and as a matter of fact.
Sling your tongue back.
Cause I never hesitate to give a dragonfly smack.
So hop through the sands a bit. You see that it's a must be hop long.
What's my name, fool?
Hey, welcome back to Poppin' Politics. Thanks for listening. We just took a listen to a song called Ice Froggy Frogs from NWH.
It was from the movie Fear of a Black Hat.
Right. What is NWH? I forget.
N-bomb with hats.
Oh, N-bomb with hats. Right. And then Nelly, Hot in Here, or Hot in Hair.
Her.
Hot in Hair. H-E-R-R-E. Okay, so again, we're talking today about global warming, and specifically how a lot of reports in the news and media today are stating that frog species dying off is directly linked to aspects of global warming, correct?
Correct.
Okay, we are agreed upon that. So there's one article that I found in the New York Times. Headline is, Frog Killer is Linked to Global Warming, from January 12, 2006. And basically, it's referring to an individual named J. Allen Pounds, correct?
Yes.
A biologist in Costa Rica who specifically says that there is compelling evidence that warming caused by human activity is disrupting ecology, in this case specifically frog species.
What's happened is that the climate change, the increase in temperatures, is making there's a fungus in that area in Latin Central America, and these frogs are already living at their end of range, I guess, and this fungus is spreading because of the temperature.
Right. And end of range means that they're like at the end of their range of their life cycle as a frog.
Right. Well, this is where they exist. They can only habitat. They can only survive in this environment and nowhere else.
Right. So to help us get some more facts, since obviously we're kind of clueless, we did talk to some folks this week, one of which was a guy named Steven Schneider, who is who exactly?
He's a climatologist at Stanford University.
And he said what? What is his main sort of point?
His main point is that, he touched on the end of range existence of species. frogs are just one example. We're just using them as one example.
Mm-hmm.
Polar bears are also living at their end of range. Like, they can only survive in the cold, mm-hmm. right? Only in the Arctic. And if global warming increases...
Penguins, too,
yes.
I feel bad for the penguins because I saw that documentary. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, if the temperatures keep increasing, ice caps melt, whatever, these species will be the first ones to go because they're already at their last, like, ditch effort of survival, I guess,
right,
in these environments.
So let's take a listen to what Stephen Schneider, climatologist at Stanford, had to say.
Climate is beginning to change where plants and animals live, when the flowers bloom, when birds come back from migration. And the work of Terry Root and colleagues here at Stanford has shown very clearly that there's a connection between the climate change induced in part by humans and the responses of plants and animals. That's not about extinction. That's about their being pushed around. The extinction concern comes when you push around plants and animals that live at the edge of their range, like in the Monteverde cloud forest. They can't go up. They're already at the top. Or in the Arctic, the polar bear loses the sea ice. It gets into deep trouble. So the first line of worry are those species that are already marginal, threatened, or living at edges where climate could push them over the top.
Animals just can't cut it no more. Tan, everyone's good. By the beach, maybe they would feel so good in Japan.
Well, also, when I was speaking with Stephen Schneider a couple weeks ago, he also mentioned that what we're doing, speeding up the process of evolution, we're just polluting. It's not so much that we're the cause of pollution, it's just that we're speeding it up. Let's listen to what he had to say.
The world's been around with life for over 3 billion years. It's been around with the advanced forms that we know and love for hundreds of millions. Now, that life has interacted with climate, and they influence each other. We call this the coevolution of climate light, meaning that as life puts gases in the atmosphere, this is all natural, nothing to do with us. It changes the climate, which influences where it can live. It's just a wonderfully interactive system. Now comes along one species, us, and we're very clever, and we find out a way to speed up the rate of this coevolution by dramatic factors of 10. And that's the problem. It's not that we're changing landscapes. It's not that we're dumping gases in the atmosphere. Nature's done that before. It's not even that we're changing the climate. It's that we're doing it so fast relative to the natural response capacities of many of the systems that that's where the threat of endangerment comes from.
So that's another quote from Stephen Schneider, climatologist at Stanford. And then again, here's a quote from Cynthia Carey from the University of Colorado, who basically says the same thing, but in a little bit of a different way, just saying, you know, that we extinction is a normal process of living for plants and animals. However, you know, humans are definitely making that move at lightning speed. So here, check it out.
Well, there was a paper in Science not long ago, maybe 2 years, that predicted that by the end of the century, over 50% of the animals and plants on the planet will be extinct. So we're already seeing declines in birds and mammals and wide variety of animals. And because of habitat destruction, because of global warming, because of a wide variety of things, we're going to see mass extinctions at a much greater rate. However, this fungus that is killing these animals in Costa Rica and Panama is operating in what is left of most pristine environments. And it may be a completely, pathogens are emerging all the time, even human pathogens, and it may not have been associated in any way with human alteration of the environment. extinction has gone on in millions of species since the dawn of life, before humans were disrupting the environment. It's a normal process within evolution. But what we're seeing is a tremendous increase in the number of extinction of a wide variety of animals and plants. And what that signifies is that we've changed the environment sufficiently that at least some animals are dying of human-caused disruption of their habitat.
Okay, so we're going to basically wrap up here. I don't know that we've really answered or solved any huge mysteries about global warming or disappearing frog species today, but I think we had a good discussion. What do you say, man?
I agree. We tossed out some ideas, talked to some experts, got their take on the situation. If anything, it's gotten people thinking. Hopefully what we've got done is accomplished has gotten people thinking about global warming.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that some of this, too, is sort of just media hype. I mean, you know, one person produces a report, a scientist puts out a report, and then, you know, one reporter picks it up, and next thing you know, there's 20 stories about it. I think that has something to do with some of the surfacing of these stories.
Global warming is one of those hot issues that is always up for debate. Mm-hmm. People are always talking about, politicians are always talking about global warming.
This
so they're
true.
Just trying to bring it back into the light again.
And, you know, it's usually it's very a prominent topic with Democratic politicians. And now you do see it sort of, you know, bridging over into Republican politics, too, like George Bush in the State of the Union address, which was just like a week ago, talking about, hey, we need to find alternative fuel sources. Meanwhile, we're fighting, you know, a war in Iraq right now.
Right. That's just his excuse, though, to drill in Alaska, I think, personally.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. I don't know. So, any last thoughts? Maybe we can start a non-profit agency that gets, you know, people to buy frogs as pets.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's a terrible idea.
Probably.
So, that's our show. That's our frogs show. I hope you liked it. You've been listening to Poppin' Politics Radio. As always, in the studio is Brad Wagner, our humble producer, and Zoneel Maharaj, staff writer, and me, Gary Moskowitz. As always, thanks for listening. Peace and respect. Sadness.